Hey everybody, welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we are finally talking about an 80s classic we've been alluding to for a while. Crocodile Dundee. This charming comedy is, what do you remember? It's a cartoon, right? Well, it's live action, but it's referenced in every cartoon I've ever seen. It's the one that was nominated for Best Original Screenplay, so enjoy that as well. Anyway, thanks for doing all you do. The season's rapidly coming to the end, and if you haven't done so yet, please rate, review, follow us on Facebook. We have a good active group. Follow us on Twitter. We do all sorts of things, and we think you would be welcome there, please. Thanks for viewing, and thank you.
Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week we're talking Crocodile Dundee. I'm your host, Nick Hoffman. On what panel we got?
Offer Matthew W. Quinn, who can do the Crocodile Hunter. I did a commercial playing him once.
Hi. I can't do none of that. My name is Noor, and there's an Australian accent.
Yeah, we did 1980 Academy Award nominated.
Wait, what? 19 what?
1980. Yeah.
Oh. 1986.
1986 is Academy Award nominated for Best Screenplay Movie, Crocodile Dundee, which is one of those, like, yes, I think it's the third one, Crocodile Dundee in L.A.
Yeah.
It's that's the bad one. I've seen it before. It's terrible. It's truly awful. But this is Australian comedian Paul Hogan making good, right? He had been a local Australian comedian type, and this is his Mr. Bean or, like, you know, Monty Python moment where suddenly he makes the national big time. Had either of you seen this before?
This is my first time watching it.
I mean, it's got that. There's some cliches you probably heard. That's not a knife.
Yeah, of course.
But other than that, like,
what's that?
It's a bidet.
For what?
that should cool.
Oh, it's washing your bum as he yells it out the window. It's funny.
I'll ask this later, but for, like, you mentioned earlier, there was, like, this Aussie renaissance in a previous episode, Missing in Action, where we got him, Mel Gibson. Who else? Who was a prominent Australian actor?
Russell Crowe. He was a movie a long time ago. He's a skinhead or something.
Oh, God, what's that movie called? I've seen it. Bangaranger?
But yeah, I think it's something like that.
Bangarang?
Sounds like Bangarang.
Yeah, when Rufio and the Lost Boys get really lost and start shaving their heads and murdering people.
Rufio. I had a buddy of mine said he watched that for the first time in a long time, and I'm like, yeah, Hook's a weird one. Previous episode, of course. But yeah, so we have... God help me, we're not to the New Zealanders yet with Flight of the Conchords.
Hemsworths. But
this is the I come from the land down under era. And so we have this woman who's a New Yorker from, I don't even know what.
Newsday.
Is it Newsday, like the actual magazine?
Yeah, and it's owned by her dad.
That checks.
And if I can quote Al Pacino, she has a great ass! That's what I'm saying now. Sorry if that exploded your mics. And there was just that scene when she was on the pond and, like, I was working.
No, dude.
And I was
She's
just like,
hold on. 80s of 80s, like, thong swimsuit things.
Another, just like previous or future episode, killer workout. One of those things that's got to give you a horrible wedgie.
It's the 80s, man. Didn't have taints. Yeah, but so she's, I mean, it's Newsday. I don't know where, like, back then, those weekly magazine type things made $1 trillion.
Yeah, because she's apparently still in Australia and reporting on stuff in Australia. She's like, oh, I have one more story I want to cover.
And they just give her money.
And the editor, who's also her boyfriend, at least for now, is cool with that.
They didn't give up that relationship type vibe, just FYI.
No, the movie I'm thinking of is called Romper Stomper.
Oh.
Yes.
What's that about?
Russell Crowe is a Nazi, I think.
No, it's... Well, I mean, that I really guess, fast. Yes. It's a Nazi skinhead war thing.
Just in general, we'll take a pause of Crocodile and Dundee. That really fascinates me.
White supremacist stuff?
When people want to play white supremacists or Nazis. You know what I mean? Like, there was an SNL sketch when 12 Years a Slave came out. And I think they were just like, they were just parodying. It was like, it was a really hard time finding people who wanted to say the N-word out loud and yelled out. But they end up getting like one janitor who was just screaming. He's like, wait, so y'all filming a movie? It's just crazy that Russell Crowe was a skinhead.
I mean, I don't have a joke, but other than, I don't know, man, he looks like that. It's. He just buzzed his hair, and you're just like, you're a skinhead. All right.
I mean, okay.
Turned out for Mel Gibson, he just had to be pulled over when he was drunk, and he was...
Was he, though? Was he anti-Semitic? Yeah, he was.
Yes, sugar tits, he was.
I mean, I've seen Passion of the Christ. It didn't help. It's one of those movies about them, you know?
That movie made me hate the Romans, because that dude was clearly having way too much fun whipping him.
Ironically, you're not going to run into any Romans just on the street.
Nailed it. Anyways.
Speaking of Australians that have nothing to do with anti-Semitism, I hope. Hey, Paul Hogan and Crocodile Dundee. So Crocodile Dundee is a... It's a comedy. I enjoyed thinking about it as a comedy.
It's not as funny as I expected it to be, although it certainly has some moments that are clever.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure if you're from Australia, you're like slapping your knees at this one. And there was, it's basically a fish out of water movie.
Yeah. And so, Len, like I said, it's nominated for an Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay, Paul Hogan.
Who did it lose against? I got to find this out, yeah. Let's see. So if it came out 1986, mm-hmm. It's just that weird thing where the Academy's get nominated the following year. Wait, is Paul Hogan dead?
Nope, not yet.
My man. Okay.
He lost, if I'm reading this
right. You can tell how old he is. One of the kangaroo hunters, that's his son.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's already well into his 40s when this comes out. If I'm reading this right, it lost to the... Oh, this is actually a good Academy Award. It lost to a movie called Hannah and Her Sisters, which is a Woody Allen movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, it doesn't hold up. But that means that the best supporting actor who won was Michael Caine.
Michael Caine.
Yeah.
So sure about Michael Caine here is that he wasn't at the Academy Awards ceremony.
Well, yeah.
Because he was filming Jaws 4, The Revenge.
That was what he liked.
And he's like, no acting awards ever happened for a Woody Allen movie. So he won his Academy Award, but he wasn't actually there.
Ah.
And so someone asked him about it later on, and they're like, so Mr. Caine, you missed the Academy Awards because you were filming Jaws 4. Have you even watched the movie Jaws 4? He goes, no, but I've seen the house that it bought me, and it's wonderful. Yeah, so they've lost to Hannah and Her Sisters, which is, again, a Woody Allen movie, which I've seen, and it's good. But we can't like Woody Allen because he married his stepdaughter, and it's very strange.
Thought he fucked his cousin.
Probably.
Okay. Okay, so... In the previous episode. Action, Missing in Action. Even Tom Hanks, for that matter, in the movies, it does. And I'm looking at Crocodile Dundee. There was an appeal to these people that people were just infatuated by, right?
Yeah.
Good shape beefcakes.
He's not ripped. He's just ripped. In good shape.
He's just a really tan, like Florida tan person. Because he's from Australia.
Yeah.
Do we do the plot synopsis yet?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us some more?
Oh, okay. Well, so a reporter, as we mentioned, she is working for a weekly news gazette. Basically, she just heard a story of a man who basically survived an attack from an alligator. Such speculations of him getting half his leg chopped off or whatever. And so she goes into this rural area of Australia to meet him. And then we're introduced to Crocodile Dundee. By when he's wrestling a stuffed alligator into a bar and just having a whole lot of time. And basically she wants to get the story of how he survived. So they go on this excursion to which they have, you know, some adventures where campfiring, gets to talk by poachers, crocodile, and essentially, you know, homegirl takes him to New York, where you actually get the vast funny moments of the movie because, hey, let's take this random Australian guy and put him in New York City, you know, where he's actually chilling with the commoner folks. Like, this is like, what, 80s New York, so I guess prostitute was legal, and so... So he's just conversing with the people of New York. He goes to a bar and basically a pimp is in love with him because he's infatuated by the soul culture. You know, he helps people do drugs. He does drugs. It's an overall good family friendly movie.
Dude, that guy dissolving when he starts putting the cocaine in the hot water. I'm just like,
now sniff it.
I sniff it and just like.
I'm wondering if people, like, lost coke doing that.
Dude, when the woman comes over and goes, you just cost him, like, $200 in cocaine. I'm like, yeah.
$200? Not that I know cocaine, but that seemed more like two. Wait, okay, inflation. That's probably $1,000 worth of coke. Yeah.
I mean, he does so much of it that an Australian man seems like he had a good idea. It's just like, really?
Okay. We thought he was sick. That's the fucking funny part. It's like, you know, stuffed up, ain't it? And then he's like, this is what we do.
Yeah, in which he invented the cocaine equivalent of hot boxing purely by accident.
That's very true. That's very true. Mm, to be rich.
Mm. It is. It's a lot.
It's a rich person drug.
It is.
But yeah, and you see this fish out of water love story adventure of an Australian in New York.
Because she comes to realize her boyfriend at the newspaper is a gigantic condescending asshole.
I thought you were going to say cunt. Can we say cunt?
Rather not.
Sorry. I mean, Paul Hogan does break his nose or whatever happens in that scene.
It does, yeah.
Like, there's my Twitter rant, my live tweet, the movie, or just like three multiple rounds of like, you are an asshole.
I mean, he had to be the asshole, so they can...
You needed to have a villain, kind of.
Yeah.
We do have the extras from the Thriller video trying to rob him at one point, and he goes, that's not a knife.
Well, he does get beaten half to death by a pimp and his two thugs.
Dude, these goons from another movie, they're so funny. There's just a guy wearing an ill-fitting coat.
We fucking forgot the most breakout star besides Hogan. Carl Winslow from the cop from Family Matters. He is yet again in the 80s movie, a limo driver.
And Val John. Yeah. From also Die Hard.
Die Hard.
Family Matters. Who he initially thinks is an aborigine.
Which is kind of...
What drive you from? And he's just like, this has gotten racist.
But he thinks he actually owns the car. You must be doing pretty well.
Yeah, the idea that an aborigine could own a car is a lot of money. Like...
I mean,
that's it's just resident black person. Is that racist? It feels like it's right on that line that it doesn't hold up anymore.
It teeters, but I feel as if it's the same humor as if like an Amish person or someone who just left the Mormon church would have a conversation with me.
I mean, I think it works. If it works.
It works. No, it works. It works. It works. It works.
If it works, it's because of the Aborigine guy earlier who's his buddy.
Right.
Right. Like, because he doesn't have a racist bone in his body, so it comes out okay.
Yeah.
Like, if it was the old man who's like, what tribe are you from? You're like, that's racist because you're just an old white guy. But yeah. Crocodile Dundee. Mick seems pretty cool.
Yeah.
You see him at one point, he's actually in like this aboriginal dance with like paint on.
Yeah, he's stomping the ground.
And he shoes off, you know, Sue, and she's trespassing.
Hmm. I hope that was an okay scene to film. I don't know any aborigines out there who listen, but I just hope it's okay and it's not like, what was that fucking... Adam Sandler movie Blended where they go to Africa.
Yeah.
Or
no, it was a Hateful, it's a Righteous.
Well, there's one where all the Indian actors quit.
Yeah, that was that one. I think it was like it wasn't Hateful Eight, it was like Ridiculous Six, something like that.
Yeah.
And then Blended, yeah, where he goes to South Africa and Terry Crews is just strutting his pecs.
Or the other weird one, which is I think 51st Dates, where he's dating a girl with
Drew Barrymore.
Who can't form a memory, so yeah. She wakes up pregnant every morning, terrified. A lot of that takes place
on... Wow, that took a turn.
But that's what the comedy is. But it takes place on Hawaii a lot, and she's supposed to be, like, a native Hawaiian, so she's doing all the hula shit, and she's just...
Yeah. or Emma Stone. Oh, okay. The difference between Drew Barrymore in 51st Dates and Emma Stone in whatever movie she played an actual Hawaiian.
Oh, that one. Oh, no.
Because she's like, yes, I'm East Asian Pacific. And Drew Barrymore's like, I am white. You know, so as long as you just stick to your culture, you'll be fine.
I think the most racist person in this movie is actually Sue, because she when Mick's Aborigine friend doesn't want her to take his picture, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, you think he'll steal your soul? It's like, no, your lens cap's on. She's not as much of a condescending ass as her boyfriend is, but she has her moments.
Yeah. She is. But the question is, too, this is a trope that doesn't really exist in the same way since 9/11, I guess. But the condescending New Yorker was also a character, right? She's trying to be very nice, but she's also like, oh, you just wouldn't understand to everybody.
And I don't know. I mean, it was the 80s. So, like, I guess I'm just surprised how some of these themes come up. Like, there's obviously two transgender people. Yeah. And, again, it's that fish out of water. The cab driver that he befriends says, no, that's a man dressed up as a lady. And I don't see what he does, but I assume he went up to this person and pinched their dicks.
He grabbed them by the crotch.
Grabbed their crotch. He's like, ah, there you are.
And then, you're a bloke. And you're just like.
Which, like, that would not fly.
And guess what? If the bar knew them, they wouldn't be cheering. They would also be like, hey, this person who's been around us for years has just been, like, insulted by this newcomer. Like, it's very strange, too. Like, part of it is, in the script, it must say, the second anyone meets Crocodile Dundee, they have an immediate, they all love him.
Yeah.
Everyone loves him. And because we get the scene with the bar, like at the bar with the cabbie, and they're just like, oh, isn't he great? He's like the best guy I've ever met.
And the hookers is like, I've been reading about him in the newspaper.
How do the people at the hotel love him? He's been making a mess.
And there's just shit everywhere.
There's shit everywhere.
The idea that he figured out the bidet the first three times is just like, oh no, it's the scene from Dumb and Dumber. There's just shit everywhere.
Have you ever used a bidet?
I have, yes.
And you have used it in a Japanese toilet?
I've not had the Japanese toilet. I've had the one that's the next shitter over is the bidet. It's a very strange sensation.
It is very strange. I'd rather have a Japanese toilet, even though I haven't used a Japanese toilet. That's very comforting.
Well done.
No, it's just like I can't imagine myself cleaning with, like, what if you slip backwards and you go into that hose, you know? or
maybe you'd explode.
Something's going to explode.
Like that girl in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
Which is a blueberry girl. You know, like, it took me for the longest time to figure out what a bidet was, because I was seeing them, because when my family lived in Africa, we had there was bidets, and I was like, well, this is... It's a bathtub for a baby with the.
Give it a glance across the room. You're like, this hand washing station smells funny.
It does.
This water fountain doesn't look right.
Yeah. You know what's even worse? The toilets in, like, in the Middle East, there's no toilets. There's a floor.
Floor. Jeff, sometimes in South Asia too.
Yeah, floor.
The squatty potty.
Why?
Got to work on that. It's leg day, man. You got to work on them thighs.
I guess so. I've never shit in the woods or outside of a toilet. I'm blessed to have plumbing, you know. Like, camping, fuck that. I held it in. I would take Imodium, couldn't do it.
Like the Pope, you don't shit in the woods.
Or Kim Jong Un. I can't poop. No.
Yeah, people are telling me I need to see the interview, because I never actually got around to seeing it.
Oh, it's a good movie. It's a movie that almost started a war.
It didn't need to be banned.
No, it didn't. No, it didn't.
It was funny.
Yeah. But no, I'll confess this first. I have a fear of public restrooms. It took me 3 weeks to poop in my own office. And even then, I brought my own Lysol wipes and toilet paper. Why? Because the ones they have in the office building is like half a ply. And I fuck with eight.
I've ruined a custodian's day after a chilly night.
What the fuck did you do? Where was this?
I was once like you, my friend.
I was once like, fear of toilets?
Oh, no, it's just like, that's a business I do at home.
Yeah, no, I do that.
And then now I've been working for 16 years, and I like my coworkers very much, but not that much. No. I'm just like, you know what? I have teacher bathrooms.
And I use them. It's just like, I don't want to sit on a warm toilet too. Have you sit on a warm seat after someone's sitting in? It's fucking weird because I can feel your balls for some reason. I don't know. There's like really warm spot.
We need to eventually talk about how you actually sit on the toilet to feel someone else's balls. But also, I get it when you're just like.
Well, if you sit down before the first guy gets up.
Ooh. someone else just had too much coffee.
You should see a doctor. Yeah. No.
Psychic butt. You can tell all about everything by touching it.
Absolutely.
That sounds like one of those 1950s like House of the Future thing. Do you ever sit down on a cold toilet seat? Well, not anymore. Not thanks to the House of the Future. You see, you have a seat warmer.
No, I'm
just
legit.
A fat guy shows up. It's like 1 minute.
I don't know if you're.
No, I
have a different toilet seat. It's like I don't fuck with whatever. I live in an apartment, so they give us the generic whatever. Yeah. I rip that shit off, you know, because I've had different types teeth. Of. No, I because like the thing is, there's one that rips your skin. There's one, so you have to get a nice porcelain one. I've used toilets that had a foam cushion before.
This is
some old 70s type shit.
Dude, that's old lady shit.
That's the old lady shit. It's disgusting because like I don't know. I was sweating. I don't know how my ass was sweating while I was taking a shit. It wasn't that bad. I wasn't that blocking much and anything.
And meanwhile, no one in Crocodile Dundee seems to take a shit.
Oh, wow. I really forgot I was talking
even
about
when they're Even when they're in the woods, because, you know, city girl, you know, what do I do?
Yeah.
So I'm going to paint a scene for you because you're my friend and we're not going to move on until we both
talked about
this. Yeah, we both talked about this. When we were looking for houses before we bought this house, we went to a house, an open house, and it was not only a carpeted bathroom.
Ugh.
But it had an elevated jacuzzi. So it was not only, it was the jacuzzi set in the ground, it was above it. So you went to the room and you just saw like a volcano in the corner, a jacuzzi, and then green carpeting throughout this entire thing, and then a pink toilet. And I was like, I don't like to deal with plumbers enough to destroy this thing and start over. But there was just a pink toilet and there was green carpeting and a toilet room, and it was a lot. And I'm just like, this ground will never become clean again.
Never.
Ew.
Not once. Carpeted
Crocodile
bathroom?
Dundee.
Crocky. Anyways.
Crocky. So, I don't even know what you want to talk about here. They got into the bush. She's looking for a guy that she calls the crocodile guy. His name is Michael Mick Crocodile Dundee. Mm-hmm. And like Matt said, they come into a bar, her and his old buddy, and Dundee is like pretending to be attacked
by
Stuff Croc.
Yeah.
We also should mention that out while he's talking, this old fat guy is talking about how he's actually a poacher. That he was in the woods trying to kill crocs on purpose, which is apparently illegal. In Australia, we're told, and Crocodile Dundee beats him up. We actually never find out whether or not he's actually a poacher.
I think he might be, because when the alligator crocodile nearly kills Sue, he's like, well, I hope he's dead, because then I have to skin him.
Right.
Of course, waste not, want not.
Wait, he wasn't one of the people with the shooting the kangaroos?
No, and kangaroo hunting is not poaching.
Because they're viewed as like big rats.
Yeah.
Are you serious? You can just pull up and kill a kangaroo?
If you went to Sydney, you can buy kangaroo burgers. Apparently, like us here eating bison, it's just red meat, but it's very lean.
Yeah.
So don't cook it too long.
They're so cute, though.
So you want to hear something funny?
Fucked up. Wait till they kick you in the head.
No. This is me. Okay. Your old history teacher.
This is me.
In the 1890s, Australia declared war on emus.
Emus?
Because emus are, you know, these large birds. They are not ostriches, but they look similar. They're big honking things. And they would go into cornfields and shit and just skeletonize the whole thing, eat it all. And so Australia decided, we've got a problem with these emus. We're going to kill them. And they sent in the army. And they spent something like 70 million bullets, and the emus kept coming. So the emus won the war. They lost a war.
Wow. Don't fuck with emus.
And the band played Waltzing Matilda as the emus drove us away. And that's really a depressing song when you sing it. So I'm going to stop singing today.
The thing that really bothered me about them and being in Australia was them sleeping not in tents. Again.
Oh, dude.
Because
we have a snake attack. I just want a spider bigger than God himself to walk across her face. Because that's what would happen. Yeah. Like, you ever see these like Reddit videos of someone like trying to kill a huntsman spider and it jumps on the broom and they're just screaming and running?
No.
Yeah, that's what it is. You know, I mean, I live in Georgia with these fine folk here. And we have daddy long legs and those fucking things that look like mosquitoes but are actually water jumpers. You know what I'm talking about? Those... You know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely.
Yeah, okay.
I don't fuck with bugs.
Yeah, they're still smaller than my hand. The idea that these spiders come out the size of a softball, and they're just like, I'm going to jump at you and climb the broom you're shooing me with. No, no, no. Australia seems lovely, but I'm just going to be the guy with like those shotguns filled with salt to shoot houseflies, you know, like... I'm going to be there with all of Spencer's gifts to make sure that I don't see anything that I don't want to see. I want to see a platypus.
I once saw a special about how a lot of mammal niches in Australia are filled by big lizards. Like there's this, like instead of a squirrel, it's a big monitor lizard that got someone's picnic and they're stealing their food.
Which he cooks and eats in this thing.
Yeah. The goanna, yeah. I can remember Tone Lock and Fern Gully. It's the same kind of thing, only it doesn't sing.
Right. But here he's like, yeah, you could eat it. You could eat yada yada. And he goes, and then he cracks out a can and she goes, you eat this stuff? He goes, yeah, it just tastes terrible.
Tastes terrible, yeah.
And he's got like a can of beans.
Beans. Oh my God, Kangaroo Jack was a movie. I thought it was
hallucinating. Who was the voice of Kangaroo Jack? Was it Ice-T?
No.
That's a movie.
It was
Anthony Anderson and the chubby kid from Stand By Me.
It was.
Yeah.
But considering it's called Kangaroo Jack, I thought the kangaroo was going to be in it more.
So that's the bullshit part. That's what the marketing did. It was the marketing as a kids movie. So it was literally like they did some type of Porky Pig thing. Where it's like, yeah, and he only came out as like an hallucination. It has 8% on Rotten Tomato. Wow.
Stay tuned, I guess.
I guess Anthony Anderson. Wow, Christopher Walken was in it.
Yeah.
Michael Shannon was in it. Wow.
I'm just a nice guy who might eat you.
I forgot who. One second. Starring Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah, from Sliders.
That was a Stand By Me guy. I guess it doesn't say who voiced the Jack.
Let's see. Well, they go on a vision quest to find the missing money and the kangaroo talks to them or something.
It's Adam Garcia. It was on.
I must be thinking of another movie.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the people from Cool in the Gang, but I guess that was wrong too. But yeah, crocodile, and that makes me sad that you can just shoot kangaroos like that. It's just like a vast majority of them. I guess they only exist in Australia, right?
But they probably overpopulate and eat everything,
right? So it's so kangaroos is equivalent to what, our deer? And that's true.
Also, I realized I was wrong. Ice-T was a kangaroo in the movie Tank Girl, which also no one should see. But yeah, he got $1 million for playing a kangaroo in Tank
Girl. Just a voice role, or did he?
Yeah, it was.
Or did they actually
some Andy Serkis crap?
No, it was more like Air Buds. Where there was a kangaroo there and they manipulated the mouth and CG later to go, I'm Ice-T or whatever that movie was.
There's that John Mulaney bit where he talks about Law and Order SVU and specifically on Ice-T. He's like, he's an investigator for the New York City Police Department for 20 years, but yet he's still surprised by every type of like...
And he has to explain everything. He was like,
what do you mean he's addicted? You mean when somebody smokes too many cigarettes or eats so much chocolate cake?
Or can't stop watching pornography, or whatever it is. Yeah, goes.
I could listen to like 50 hours.
I like John Mulaney.
Yeah, John Mulaney is good. It's good. It's good.
Also, friend of the show, look up Tom Papa.
Tom Papa?
He was, Jerry Seinfeld said he was his favorite comedian, but he just has a new special. And he just talks like a guy from Jersey, but it's like that John Mulaney where like, it's not like, he's not trying, he's edgy and funny, but he's not trying to be offensive. So you're just like, ah, yes. Sipping on a beer, just like, oh, this is delightful. It's Tom Papa's funny. Brian Regan is like that too. It's just like they're just pleasant guys.
Oh, I know him. Was
yes,
familiar?
You do know him.
No, yeah, no. His stand up is actually really good.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Crocodile Dundee. Anyway, so they go out in the woods together, and going out in the bush. They go in the bush together to look for some crocs, and he literally saves her from being attacked by a croc. He stabs the croc through the brain, like you do.
Yeah, because she wants to prove that she's not this helpless woman, and she demonstrates at one point by chambering and firing a rifle round, and then she goes and refills her canteen in a wild river. You know, someone's got the Aussie bush diarrhea in a minute. And then the crocodile shows up. Yeah. And luckily, it goes for the canteen and not her head. And meanwhile, Dundee has been following her through the trees, so he never touches the ground.
Knowing that she's just a Sheila.
She's just a naive doof.
That's kind of sexist.
No, he kind of is.
He calls her and goes, yeah, Sheila.
He kind of is a lot in this movie.
Well, I mean, but like the whole gag is that they go, as the Chevy Chase Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie does, they go from jungle to jungle. And New York is the craziest jungle of them all.
I really wish they could have leaned in on the New York aspect of it.
It takes up so little of the movie.
Yeah, because where are they in relation? It's not Manhattan. Or it could be an upper. He's in a really nice hotel.
They're on the upper east side. Upper side, we see the park.
No, I could have. So I didn't see the second or third one. What's the second one takes place in? What is
second
it?
One is kind of.
Don't they have to hide
reverse.
Out? Don't they have to hide out in Australia from drug dealers or something?
Well, I was gonna say it's the reverse. They start out in New York and they go back to Australia, and then the third one is the same movie as the first one, but instead they go to L.A. and there's more time in L.A. And by that point, the joke has run out.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's kind of a one-note joke, which is the fish-out-of-water story. There's a reason there's not a sequel to Encino Man, and I wish there wasn't a sequel to George of the Jungle, but George of the Jungle is the same kind of movie. It's just funnier.
It's true.
Have you seen the Brendan Fraser George of the Jungle?
I've seen the Brendan Fraser. And
it's
very funny. It's very funny. I saw the other rip-off of the second one because they couldn't afford Brendan Fraser anymore. Oh, no. But I see what you're saying. No, I really do appreciate this movie because if it wasn't for the strives that Crocodile Dundee did, we wouldn't have gotten the Hemsworths, which that before we wouldn't have gotten the Thor.
I mean, the joke is a Hemsworth. It's literally, this is Thor. This is the first Thor movie, at least 75% of it.
Do you know what would have been great? They could remake this with one of them, right?
Dude, that's Smolder. Even on Liam Hemsworth, but if like you got the OG, Chris.
Would anyone believe that these guys are, you know, country people who don't know anything about the world?
I will say there's a scene in not Endgame, the one before Endgame, Infinity War, where I think it's Thor and Captain America, and they're just splitting logs in half with their hands.
That was Avengers.
It's Age of Ultron because they're all camped out in Hawkeye's house.
Yeah, but it's just like
him just ripping. Yeah, yeah.
That's just what I imagined it is. Just like we're out in the bush. We're doing Survivor, but we're just bending trees in half to make a fortress.
Yes, give me a Rocky IV montage of them just cutting wood.
Oh, God.
But we don't like Liam Hemsworth.
He was on Westworld and nothing.
Was he on Westworld? No, he was in Hunger Games. Was he in Westworld?
Maybe he was in the Westworld.
We don't like because he cheated on Hannah Montana 40 times.
Oh, Hannah Montana.
The Miley Cyrus, yeah. But, you know, I don't believe in adultery, so fuck you, Liam.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry. Crocodile Dundee.
There's some funny bits, like he's climbing up on street signs to see where he's going.
See above the crowd, to see above the herd, right? He's infinitely charming. It's got that southern. It feels like a Beverly Hills Billies kind of thing. Like,
I'd rather this than Beverly Hillbillies.
Well, right, but like the idea is like. When I walk around the neighborhood, I'm used to saying hi to everyone.
Yeah.
But New Yorkers don't. Aren't New Yorkers jaded? And
hey.
He's just friendly.
I'm walking here.
How you doing? I'm Croc. I'm from Australia.
Right.
Who are you?
I'm going to take out a purse snatcher with a thrown con.
Well, but like, he's just being pleasant. And like that scene where he does take the can from the old lady that's been knocked down and knocks the... And my favorite part is everyone's like, oh, you crocodile. And they're applauding him. Like, the dude got up and kept running. No one's... No. And like he does, we already mentioned the, hey, it's not a knife, this is a knife. Like a scene where he stops the muggers from, by taking this unexplained knife. And I say unexplained because he's had it on since the beginning. Mm-hmm. He didn't get on a plane with that bush knife.
Yes, he did. How do you get
this? This was the 80s.
Yeah, it was.
Flying was still a free country.
Yeah, this is when you can walk people to the gate.
This is when the Lockerbie bombing hadn't happened. This is when terrorism didn't exist.
When was Unabomber?
Unabomber never got any planes.
He did.
I thought it was mail bombs.
Well, UNA is... the UN is for universities and the A is for airplanes. He did blow up several airplanes.
Was that in the 80s though or in the 90s?
70s through 90s. He was caught in the early 90s thanks to the internet, which he had made a rant against. Unabomber is interesting. I don't like him. It's a good story.
No,
he's one of those like guys that we caught in my lifetime that I just remember a lot about. Ted Kaczynski.
So it's Saddam Hussein for me.
Yeah.
I was
late to an exam that day.
Because you were celebrating?
No, I just overslept. So I was in school in Ohio and I was wearing my gym jams and I was like, holy shit, my exam starts in 10 minutes.
Wait, Saddam Hussein. I'm thinking, okay.
The
same day, yeah.
So I throw on my hoodie.
Yeah.
And I'm running across a snowy field to get to my exam on time. And when I got back to my dorm, everyone was like, did you hear Saddam was captured? I'm like, I was just taking... No, I hadn't heard.
I remember I got waken up to at like 1:30 when it actually happened. But I meant to say Osama.
Yeah.
That was a big one.
I was hanging out with people. And then they cut in with the news and Brock's like, you know what? We got him. I was just like, wait, what?
I was...
Slow down, Prez.
I was watching a baseball game. Yeah. And they were shouting, USA, USA. And I'm like, who's playing the Phillies? What's going on? And then TV cut.
And then Barack shows up and he's like, how you doing?
How you doing?
You're watching the Braves. But guess what? We caught Bin Laden.
We got him. We
shot him, threw him in the water.
Yeah.
You got to have the ears.
For Obama, it's all about the pacing. It's all like.
And the.
Yeah, that's right. It's like.
Nope.
You see, we got him.
And we do that.
Biden, it's all about saying man. For Biden, it's like,
come on.
Yeah, come on. This is America, man.
You know,
it's also Australia.
Oh,
it's also Australia, too,
so,
man. And sometimes you got to ride a kangaroo
man. That's really good.
That's good.
That's really good. Do you know,
and sometimes.
Oh, that's not a knife. This is America. In America, you get a big knife.
And that laptop, I think, has videos of Hunter doing something else to that kangaroo.
Damn.
Besides riding the kangaroo.
Oh, no. He's inhaled steam cocaine. Anyways,
that was my son.
Off topic. I was watching the Chris Rock special, which was the same thing that I saw him live. But afterwards, they do a round table talk.
Sure.
Where David Spade and Dana Carvey is leading the round table talk. The people on the round table talk are Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, JB Smoove. Fuck, who was the other person?
So was two Kareem other people just taller than everyone by 3 feet?
Yeah, and surprisingly, Kareem was pretty... But
Spade, Carvey, JB Smoove, they're not tall men.
But the funniest thing, though, was a really tense moment. Because if you're not familiar, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he's very... he's an activist into racial injustice and things like that. And,
he's a good dude.
And then Dana Carvey... does an Obama impression.
Oh, no.
Which pisses him off.
Does he get chucked out a window?
No. He's just sitting there just mean mugging him the entire time. I urge you to watch it. But
I will. Sorry, I didn't know how that was going to go. And I just, in my head, I thought of Dana Carvey bestie, Mike Myers, sitting next to Kanye when Kanye says, Bush doesn't hate black people. And Mike Myers is like, there's no way I can make this funny. So as a Canadian, I'm just going to be like, poutine.
Cut to Chris Rock, Chris Tucker.
Oh, yeah. And Chris Tucker's like, holy shit. And
you know, it's actually funny because in The Love Guru, which people don't like. Which we will do. We will do it.
Yes.
I request that.
Embrace the agony.
Actually, is it old enough?
It is.
We're doing The Love Guru.
Is Jacques Lecoq, is that Timberlake's name, Jacques Lacan?
Hey, does someone order an extra long sausage pizza? Get it? Like the porno? I can quote that movie, I swear.
Oh, no. That's also the John Oliver movie. Where, well, oh, God.
John Oliver.
Doesn't he play movie? Dick something?
He is.
Dick
he is.
Pants?
Yeah, I think. But no, Kanye's in that movie.
Kanye's in
the movie, and it cuts to, like, they're at a hockey game. And then it was like, let's cut to some of the celebrities. And Kanye is actually next to Mike Myers. And they're just like, just clapping it out. But we don't talk about Kanye now.
Oh, that's a song coming out. We don't talk about Kanye.
We don't talk about Kanye.
Oh, no.
No, here's the honest answer with all that stuff.
Yeah.
You got to separate art from the artist. And unless,
oh, absolutely.
Unless something horrible happened on the set of that movie, like, you just... Sometimes you just gotta let it go. And the answer is, they're all assholes. There are Kevin Spacey movies I enjoy, and now I can only enjoy them if he dies at the end. That's right. Why Baby Driver might be his great. Best movie.
Spoilers! Spoilers! I haven't seen it yet.
It's 15 years old. That's not my fault at this point.
It was filmed in Atlanta.
At Georgia State, where I was.
Yeah.
They closed the school at one point for filming, and also, sadder, it was the last place that Paul Walker filmed before he died.
That's right. They filmed.
They filmed it literally outside the building.
Yeah, I saw them. I saw them set. I saw them set up like the set for it, like in a parking lot. It was a bunch of like rubble.
Yeah,
by Georgia State, like literally by where I was, we could see them filming it outside the window.
That's crazy how you can, and you can just tell when things are in Atlanta. I don't know what it is, but there's a type of feel. I was like, it's L.A. No, it's Atlanta.
My favorite was, I was sitting with a friend of the show, Zach Krause, and we watched Black Panther together, which is a great film. Awesome film.
High Museum.
But that opening art heist scene is at the High Museum, and it's supposed to be London.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
and if you can,
Zach, that's the alley by between the High Museum and that church.
Yeah.
And he was like, holy shit, it was. And then we're just giggling the whole time. Which again, great film. But I'm just like, I know exactly what you're doing, Cougar.
They did actually a really good job in that particular scene. Because if you look closely, because obviously, no spoilers, they leave the museum. It's a museum in the movie, too. They leave the museum in an ambulance. And when they close the ambulance doors.
It's British.
It is the best. Like, the reflection off the thing, it was. Because you know what's behind there? The fucking MARTA station.
Yeah, there's a MARTA station on one side. There's a Kinko's on the other. It's not exact. The building is beautiful. Yeah. The area is not.
The show. Area's picked up. Because that's where
It's not picturesque. It's not London.
That's true.
It's a Kinko's next to the library, next to the Church of Christian Science.
Come on, man. Can't we talk about the crocodile again, man? My son's kangaroo lover says we got to talk about the crocodiles. Immoral doing to the kangaroo, man.
Let's talk about this movie. Honestly, he's lovable. There's nothing. I actually don't hate this. There's nothing I don't like about this movie, to be honest with you, if I'm thinking about it right now. There's no aspect of the movie where I'm just like, fuck, I wish they did this better, whatever. It's a silly, goofy movie, and I like it, you know?
I expected it to be funnier, frankly. I thought it was.
Like watching it now or watching it like.
When I actually saw it. This is the first time I saw
it. So
you
first. Okay.
I expected more laugh out loud humor continuously.
Yeah. Well, how was this? When did you watch this movie, Nate?
Well, but here's the answer. I haven't seen it all the way through very often. This is one of those movies that, like, again, just think about it. What could you not just show on TV? That's like, true. You see her butt in a thong bikini kind of thing, but, like, there's not really nudity. There's no strong language. Like, the stuff where he's asking about Jean Valjean, that's Les Mis.
One day more.
Yeah. When he's talking about the, like, he's talking to his driver, the cabbie.
Carl Winslow.
When he's talking to Carl Winslow about his tribe, there's a race joke there. But later on, he goes, what did he say, like, South Bronx or whatever?
Harlem Warlords. Because just when he's about to get destroyed by the pimp and his two cronies.
Right.
Carl Winslow comes rolling in there and takes that one down with a boomerang.
You gotta stop playing the pronoun gang. When Croc Dundee is about to be shot, we also, as you mentioned too, there's a slobs versus snobs aspect where the weird editor guy proposes, And Crocodile Dundee is invited to the dinner party at the rich dad's house somewhere in Long Island. This mansion does not exist in Manhattan. But and the intention is to, you know, separate Croc. And in fact, Mick Dundee is hitting on another woman, who disappears from the movie immediately.
Mm. That's right.
But like, there's essentially goons kind of after him.
Yeah, because he beats up a pimp earlier, and the pimp kind of didn't forget about it.
You have to remember the reason why he's out in the streets of New York. His love interest got proposed to.
Right, and he's on, as he calls it earlier, a walkabout.
A walkabout. Yes, going on a walkabout.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good. Show an accent.
And you know, like, I don't know.
Or how you, the order you listening to it.
But there's a hotel escape, and there's like him crawling around, and he goes, "Oh, you wash your bum with it." And you know, there's cute bits to that.
Yeah.
And then when she finally ditches her prick fiance to chase after him, they have this whole game of telephone in the subway.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then he dramatically walks across the top of a crowd to the tune of this weird combination of a didgeridoo and an 80s synth.
If someone was crowd surfing and stepped on my head, if I was in that subway,
I'm knocking the ass over on the train. No, not today.
And again, like,
even if it's Crocodile Dundee.
No, I don't care who the fuck it was. It could have been Hunter Biden. I don't care.
Was New York
congested?
Well, but that's the weird part, too. Like, because there's also this story, like, New York is becoming nicer because of Crocodile Dundee, kind of. And, like, at the end, there's, like, this whole movie is, like, New Yorkers are, like, these weird people who don't. And then he's, like, so friendly.
Yeah, he's like, everyone's nice here. And I'm like.
And even with the pimps and the prostitute, like, he's nice to them and they're flirting with him. And then she realizes, oh, you're the Australian I've been talking about. And they're just talking to him, right? And then, of course, the pimp shows up and he knocks him through the wall. He looks like Pee Wee Herman or something. He's this, like, weird, thin dude. Very strange.
Well, that's why he needs the two Bugsy Malone types to back him up.
But, like, and then at the end, everyone's just like, you know what? That Mick Dundee's a nice guy. And they're, like, cheering him. And, like, the subway should just come. And they're like, hey, get the fuck out of my way. This is Long Island. I don't care.
All of New York's hearts grew three sizes that day.
I wonder how
it's like
this
Spider-Man in that Amazing Spider-Man where he's like, all the crane operators are like, hey, Spider-Man, when you attack one of us, you attack all of us. And you're just like, and he's like swinging between
because the city of New York is the other character. I wonder how this helped Australian U.S. relationships from this movie.
Well, they did appoint that koala as Secretary of the Interior, and I think that was a good move.
Are you serious?
Of course not.
I don't know what happens in these foreign countries and what their policies and what they do. I just know they're dicks to indigenous people from the movie Australia with Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman.
Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
That's
actually the most prominent person that come from Australia. That and the
Hugh Flight of the Jackman.
I think it goes.
Who's bigger, Hugh Jackman or Chris Hemsworth?
So,
they're both working for Marvel.
They're
both Disney guys.
So I will list out the contributions to Australia that I love the most. Number one, Bluey.
Oh, Bluey's the best.
Bluey's the best. Number two, Hugh Jackman. Number three, Flight of the Conchords.
Best. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, are they New Zealand or Australian? I don't want to mix up the two. I want people to come after me.
Oh, actually, I mean, they're New Zealanders, but their show might have first come from Australia. I don't know. So let's say New Zealand.
So let's say New Zealand, and we'll have a different list for that.
Mel Gibson.
He's
Foster's,
like,
which I've heard.
Foster's.
Is Australian for
is it? Is Australian for
Outback okay. Steakhouse.
Oh,
Outback
yes.
Outback Steakhouse. Onion, Bloomin' Onion, and Onions. What else?
There's an Australian bakery in Marietta Square.
Interesting. I've never had Australian cuisine.
I have eaten a platypus.
Really?
No.
I've had an Rocky Mountain oyster.
Cow testicles.
Basically. It's very tender. Very tender.
I imagine.
Very tender, yeah. It's just one of those things that I had to try.
I'm with you. Yeah, I haven't, but I have eaten guinea pig.
Monster. Where was this prepared? Europe?
Panama.
City?
No, the country.
Okay.
Although it was in Panama City, in Panama.
Panama, like,
He never want the chef to go, you'll never guess what you ate. It's not like he ordered it.
I mean, like, I
this
don't want to.
Risotto is picante.
I don't want kangaroo, but if they just eating it like deer over there or bison, then I kind of want to try it.
We're at Mickey D's, and
you think that McDonald's has kangaroo meat?
The big
and some guana nuggets while we're at it.
Oh my god!
I think
a big smack.
It could a
smack
instead of what if their fries had like a pouch in front of it and had like two little fries?
if the box, you know, those little cardboard box that your burger comes in now.
Yeah,
and then you hang off the front the fries.
Australian consulate to Atlanta, if you're listening in. See if you can play that on a didgeridoo.
I have a didgeridoo. So that surprisingly didn't turn into a bong in college. Anyways.
An Australian Ronald McDonald just shows up. Crikey!
I mean, no, think about it. Like in different countries, like France, they have their own advertising. I think a friend of mine, she was in France, and they had a Charlie Chaplin person. Mm-hmm. It was like
a mime.
Yeah, but it was a poster. It said the McHitler. They have a very strange sense of humor. But
in Taiwan, you can go to a BFC or an OFC, which is an Obama fried chicken.
Wow.
It's funny, but it's not a joke.
If Obama was the reason why they got a McDonald's there, then good for them. Some could argue that Chinese restaurants brought vegetables to the hood.
Last time I was in Italy, we were at like a hotel, and in the lobby there's a bar because it's Europe. And I was just hanging out, having a drink with some other Americans who happened to be there. And we're like joking around, like in Italy it's really hard to get food to go because everything, like a meal is an actual event. You know, it's like being anywhere around the Mediterranean. Yeah. Like you don't just grab a sandwich and go.
No.
And so if you had an early train, it was sometimes hard to find something. You would literally have to almost buy the ingredients to a sandwich and assemble the sandwich yourself.
Right.
Right. And one of the few places that had food pretty quick was the McDonald's. And so we're all just drinking wine in this like hotel bar and we're talking. And the guy goes, you got to try the McDonald's in Italy. And I'm like, why? He goes, because they use real fucking cheese. And I was just like, he goes, no shit. Like they're literally putting mozzarella on a burger. And you could have wine with it. And I'm just like, guys.
That's a thing to do. Have McDonald's all over the world. Eat McDonald's all over the world. I've only had one in Germany.
I think in France. In India, the burgers are made of sheep.
They have specialties. Like they have like a chicken masala.
Yeah.
At this McDonald's and stuff. So,
yeah. I mean, and then like when Europeans responded with restaurants like the Quick and other things, like McDonald's, like, just fuck you. We've got this.
Yeah.
And they're like, you can have the McBeer and you can have a McDonut and we can fucking do it up.
Do you know what we should bring? We should bring a Waffle House to Australia. But only bring Waffle House employees.
I won't
from the States.
I won't lie to you because I love you. There is an Anthony Bourdain special where he goes on No Reservations and he goes to a Waffle House and he's never been before.
Yeah, he went with, no, Bill Murray didn't show up. It was some guy, yeah.
Well, it was the same episode with
Bill Murray.
Yeah,
I remember.
But like the way he talks about it and he goes, it's the ultimate American restaurant. It's always open. It's always friendly. Mm-hmm. It's always light. Tougher. The food is always good. I'd rather be here than French Laundry. And you get it. And there's just like this patriotic swell in your breast. You're just like
it wasn't No Reservation, it was Parts Unknown.
You're absolutely right.
Trust me, I tried to go I went through a binge of No Reservation.
That episode of Parts Unknown, I think it's Parts Unknown, it might be No Reservations, but where he is in Lebanon when the Israelis invade. That must be Parts Unknown.
That must have been Parts Unknown, yeah.
Dude.
No, was it?
He's in Beirut when the Israelis invade. That's and they have to smuggle him out of the country. Dude, fucking, it's insane. I show that in class. As Crocodile Fundy. he puts the fun down Fundy.
Ooh, nice.
I mean, here's the thing. Crocodile Dundee is one of those characters who's introduced. He's not naive, but he doesn't know what he's doing. But he can never be wrong. And his, all that is supposed to be funny. And frankly, here, it mostly works. They do those kinds of movies a lot. He is charming. his comedic time. And again, we were talking about this before, but you can't teach comedic timing.
No.
You know, some actors have it, they don't. He has it. And so that scene, that's not a knife, this is a knife, could be done by 20 actors. He makes it very charming because of the pauses, because of the way he's like, oh, that's not a knife. And he takes out this buck knife he has in his pocket. He goes, this is a knife. There's no fear in his voice. It's pure joy. He thinks it's almost cute. And he's not being an asshole. And he, I mean, again.
Oh, Chris, that's just some kids having fun.
Because Chris Pratt would be in it when they do the remake, yeah. Because Chris Pratt is now Mario. But the whole joke of it is, Chris Pratt would either be Star-Lord.
I'd be so fucking pissed if I was a Hemsworth and they're like, you gave us to Pratt? You gave us to Star-Lord? Ugh.
Give it to any... The guy who's been doing the voice of Mario for 20 years must be pissed because Mario's up here. Ho, ho, ho!
It's me, Mario.
I am acting right now because I'm Chris Pratt.
They didn't even give him a butt. The one of the prominent things about... You can't do butt Dude, slams.
That booty's so fun.
That booty's so
fun. That booty.
That booty. That booty.
So fun.
That Mario booty.
That's why Waluigi only has 1G, because it's not thick. That Mario? Mario's thick. We're recording on Mario Day. M-A-R-1-0. Okay. Mario. Okay. Girl. Hey, it's not a Koopa. Hey, this is a Koopa.
Watch out, it's actually a crocodile. Just feeds Koopa to the crocodile.
Him and Donkey Kong would get along. Isn't that where the King Croc is from? Hey, Donkey. Hey, it's a croc. We've talked about this movie. Well, actually, we haven't talked about this movie. We've talked in general for about an hour. Yeah, so, did. Nora, would you watch this again?
Absolutely. It's lighthearted. I feel as if it's a movie you can just literally pick up anywhere when it starts and not knowing like what's going on, because for the first like I don't know 45 minutes they're in Australia, in the second half they're in New York, and it's just him going on an adventure. So I really did enjoy this movie.
Thank you, Mr. Quinn.
It was all right. Maybe say it once. I got to say I'd see it again in the future, but not for a while.
There aren't movies that we have anymore that you can make fun of that aren't tongue-in-cheek. Think about it. Nowadays, all the bad horror movies, bad comedies, like Velocipaster and Sharknado and those kinds of shit, they know they're stupid, so they play it really tongue-in-cheek. This movie, there are 1,000 parodies of, but they're in the 80s. You haven't seen them. This is like one of those scary movies, but the original... that you haven't seen before. I would say watch it just because it's nothing. I like, this is a movie you put on halfway through the day when you're not really paying attention and you'll have a fine time. It's perfectly enjoyable. There's a couple jokes that no longer land, but there's nothing that's like completely out of place. It's not weird. It's not like that fucking, we were talking about the other day, The Toy with Gene Wilder and Richard Pryor and a kid just owns Richard Pryor. Like, it's not an absurd premise. It's a very simple premise. It's a fish out of water story, and everyone's pleasant. And the thing is, those jokes, those like weird things that you remember, oh, that's not a knife. This is a knife. You just don't know. Like, it's a reference that you've seen, but you don't know the movie. Watch it. It's completely inoffensive. I found this movie charming. I found it light. I found it rewatchable. I didn't find it like... I expected it to be more, kind of like you were alluding to, where I've seen allusions to it for so long, I thought it was great. I don't think this is the greatest comedy of the era, but you're not going to be upset when you watch it. It's just that you kind of know what you're about to see. Anyway, we're out of time. I thank my buddies who came on this show. I will add, while we're here, we're very close to the end of our season, actually. Yeah. Next week we're doing another comedy, this time starring Michael Keaton, doing Multiplicity, but that already puts us into May. Our season ends in June, and then we take a few weeks off before we return in July. So as we approach the end of our 9th season, I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for sharing. And by the by, if you haven't been sharing or reviewing, do. Our season is just about over, and the way... Like, we have our loyal audience. We want it to grow.
Yes, we
so
do.
The way it grows is by you sharing us to other people, retweeting us, putting us on your Insta. That's the way new people hear us.
Yeah, and if you don't like us, then still share us. That's the least you can do.
Punish enemies.
Yes, by sending yes. us. Do what the internet does and respond anonymously.
And to his point, this episode is episode 405, of which 300, maybe 280 are still available. Some are behind the paywall. With that in mind, we can guarantee there's something you know that will annoy that person that we've talked about. Annoy that uncle of yours. Annoy that friend that's not really a friend. Or share it with people you like. That's also good. Those lead to our better reviews. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, thanks for all you do. Thanks for sharing. And this time, gentlemen, when we record, do it with feeling. Bye, guys.